This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of economy? Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like how to get real value from points and not just a tiny reward at checkout, the smartest ways to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day game, and how to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to today's solo episode for this Bhutan series. So you may have noticed I've started my Bhutan series with an interview with Ugyen Rinzen. That's a fantastic chat about Bhutan and Buddhism. And then I released last week the immersive episode of my Tiger's Nest hike to see the Tiger's Nest Monastery. That was absolutely sensational. So today I thought I'd give a bit more context on this collaboration with Breathe Bhutan and also all the information of days 1 to 3. Day 2 for Tiger's Nest, I pretty much said everything in that episode, so check that out last week. In today's episode, I'll give more details of days 1 and 3. And we'll finish with an interview with a lama, where I had a great breakfast with him overlooking Thimphu. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real and unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala or camping under the stars in British Columbia, I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers and anyone who's ever thought, what if I just went for it and traveled? If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. Context first, Breathe Bhutan. I collaborated with those guys in December for my trip. They produce a fantastic 10-night, 11-day itinerary. And the idea is we would both get content for both of our respective channels, me, my podcast, and my YouTube, and then for their social media channels. A lot of reacting to stuff, a lot of talking about stuff that we did on the itinerary. And of course, I'm collecting sounds, interviews, and video for my YouTube for my content. So that was the idea. And I spoke to Tourism Bhutan. They love the idea too. So we all come together and eventually it came together in December for this trip. And I went in December. So this is the start of winter. Predominantly the weather is going to be mild in the day, 14, 15 degrees Celsius. And then it gets down to like -2 or -3 at night. So we have that interesting balance of weather. Non-tourist season, so not many tourists. Things are pretty quiet. I was there for National Day, which will come later in the series. And yeah, just a real great time. So day one, I did fly in from Bangkok to Paro. Now, this side of Southeast Asia, Bangkok is alongside Singapore the only place you can fly to Paro. Singapore's a bit more spontaneous in terms of their flights. Bangkok is a bit more scheduled every month. And when you book a tour to Bhutan, you need to make sure you check the schedule released on Tourism Bhutan's website because they actually fix days in where they fly from Bangkok. So I picked my day as December the 10th and it cost about $1,400 Canadian dollars return to Bangkok. So that is a lot of money for a 2.5 hour flight, but there's no other choice. The alternative is you can fly in from the other part of the Himalayas. So that could be like Nepal and any city in India, really in northern parts of the country. I think those flights are probably a bit cheaper and a bit more regular too. So when you book through your tour company to book your tour, they will help you arrange those flights if you don't want to do it on your own. They'll make sure they get the visa for you, which costs, I think, $40. And of course, they'll pick an itinerary for you, and you can really customize it to what you're really interested in. So for my itinerary for this series, I chose culture, hiking, interviews, local people, homestays, 3 to 4 star hotels. I wasn't interested in luxury, and just kind of being in nature and in the hills. That's kind of what I asked for, and that's pretty much what I got. So I flew into Paro. Now, if you fly from Bangkok, sit on the left-hand side of the airplane because you'll see views of Everest and Kanchenjunga, which is the third highest mountain in the world. And it was clear blue skies, unbelievable views flying in. And it took about 2.5 hours. And the captain on the flight came through the tannoy and said, look left because you're going to see some great sights. And we saw Everest. Absolutely incredible. And I got picked up by my guides at the airport from Breathe Bhutan. So I had a bit of a entourage with me. I had Sonam, my main guide. I had a secondary guide called Ratu, and he was mostly filming and collecting content for the trip. I had Parbati, who works with Breathe Bhutan, so she joined us for the tour and was more on my side, so experiencing stuff rather than giving information out. And then we had our driver, and I called him God because he's the most important person in the group. And normally, transportation will be a minivan, very comfortable. And Bhutan's not that big in terms of a country, but a lot of the roads are in the hills, so you need a bit of a decent vehicle to get around. So I met Sonam and the crew, and we checked into Tiger's Nest Camp. This is like a glamping hotel, 3 to 4 star, I'd say, and it had views overlooking Tiger's Nest, and it's in Paro, where the airport is. And I must say, Tiger's Nest Camp is a dreamy stay. The glamping pod was so comfortable and so warm. The bed was amazing. They have lots of heaters in there. Tea and coffee was served as well in the room, alongside an amazing shower and Western toilets. So this is the sort of comfort level you're going to get. And when you book your tour, they'll ask for your comfort level and you can choose 3, 4, or 5 star hotels. So I checked into Tiger's Nest Camp, had a bit of a nap because I was in the airport at Bangkok around 3 a.m. It was a tough start at 6 a.m. Then we had lunch at Pell Diner. So I do have an interview from the owner of Pell Diner. He came onto my YouTube to talk about what he serves and the type of restaurant that he has. You can check out that interview on my Roaming with Hamo YouTube channel, and it's in day one. So you get to hear about what he serves. But I'll tell you what he serves. He serves Bhutanese food. And this is my first taste of Bhutanese food. And that is pretty much chilies and cheese. Amadashi is their national dish. That is basically chili and cheese. Very spicy, very tasty. And they chuck cheese in most things. So we had red rice, which didn't have cheese in, but we had some vegetable curry with cheese in it. We had mushrooms with cheese in it. They also serve trout from the local river and chicken as well on the bone, and alongside some classic sort of like curry inspired dishes. I'd say it's a mix between Indian and Chinese cuisine, somewhere in the middle. And I absolutely loved my first taste of lunch. But let me tell you, lunch is pretty much going to be the same as dinner. They're going to serve the same sort of dishes. And for breakfast, I did normally go for Western. But honestly, the plethora of choice is amazing. It's super tasty. And they come out in the style of bowls. So you have as much as you want, and you stop when you're full. It's that type of service. The first activity on day one, I went to a sand mandala display. This is Tibetan artistic culture. And I have also another interview slash explanation from the owner of the center, again on day one on my YouTube channel, where she explains the art form. And we get to see a monk perform this art form in real time. And effectively what it is little bits of sand that are different colours get created into this huge display and huge piece of art, which the monasteries and the zongs will take to put on their wall. What's interesting about it is they create this and it takes 2 to 3 weeks to complete. It gets displayed for 2 or 3 days and then it all gets washed away into the local river. It's very sustainable. It doesn't harm the environment, but the thought process of actually spending weeks and weeks of creating this art piece, and then within 2 or 3 days of it being finished, you then literally wash it away. It's supposed to teach you mental strength because it's telling you that everything in the earth is not permanent. We come with nothing, we leave with nothing. And the idea is that we can embrace the challenge, embrace the art form, look at your work, like it, approve of it, but then don't feel too bad when you have to start again in a week's time for another piece of art. So these guys who actually are experts in this, they have memorized, I think, over 100 types of designs, and they get asked to create one just off the cuff like that, and they can start. So I was watching this guy pick up each bit of sand and placing it on the big, big board that they create these things on. Pretty incredible to watch and hear. And then we got to create our own masterpiece, which is a much smaller board, to create like a little bit of like colourful art. And I did that, completed it, loved it, and then just collected it all up and threw it away. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So if you want to research more, again, you can watch my YouTube channel and Day One, or you can just research sand mandala displays and read about this Tibetan art form. Now, for my tour, I did emphasize I like walks and hikes. It's quite hard to say this. I went to the Zuri Zong hike. A Zong is like a religious building in Bhutan. And this was a 1 hour walk, not very difficult. But for the first time, I got to see the views of Paro and the Paro Valley. And the reason that's so spectacular is because that's where the airport is. Now, when you fly in from Bangkok, I hope you're not too squeamish about how close you get to the mountainside, because you are literally flying in the valley. The mountainside is to your left, literally there. I think pilots need a special license to fly into Paro. So anyway, when you see planes come in to land into the airport, they have to weave in and out of this valley, and then they straighten out into the Paro Valley. So we get to see a plane land at the airport. That's pretty cool. This hike was very lovely. Great to get some views and some Bhutanese air into my lungs. And of course, at this point, you sort of are acclimatizing to the altitude. We're about 1,500 meters up at this point. It won't go lower than that. So when they do the Tiger's Nest Monastery hike, normally for tourists, that's at the end of the hike. So they're more acclimatized. But for me, I booked in a 3-day hike later in the tour. So I had to do it early on. But this day was a gentle walk. And then we finished with afternoon tea at Como Umo Paro Resort. And that is 5-star. We didn't stay there, but the afternoon tea was spectacular. The classic scone sandwiches. And the best thing about it is overlooking the view over the Paro Valley. That was pretty sensational as well. So it's a full-on day, straight in. And then we finished with dinner at Tiger's Nest Camp, which again was like lunch, just loads of dishes, and you eat as much as you want. And that was the first day. And I think reflecting on the first day, it's great to understand the customs, understand some of the history from Sonam. He's given me information all day about the various things that we see. And it's great to see Paro, like a mini city in Bhutan, the buildings, the architecture. Good to get a feel of that as well. Of course, Bhutanese food. And then just kind of see in day-to-day life. And because it's been number one on my list for a while, I really didn't know what to expect. Of course, I've been to Nepal and India, but these are different countries, and I want to experience Bhutan and actually understand how they live and how they operate. And I loved my first day. Honestly, it was the best first day of a tour I've had. Brilliant. And just to say, the reason I chose Breathe Bhutan is because they actually concentrate and emphasize authentic experiences. That's what they offer as a tour group. And when I was looking at Bhutan tour groups, I really wanted one that was going to be providing me with the most authentic experience possible, right? But I think these guys get it as close as they can. And honestly, as we go throughout the series, you'll understand why I chose these guys, because they produced the most amazing itinerary. So day one was perfect and a great way to start the tour. Now, day two, I've said pretty much everything on this on the previous episode for Tiger's Nest. Head to last week's episode. You'll hear the immersive bit, and I chucking a bit of extra at the end with some details of that hike. And just to finish on that, I actually reached Thimphu in the evening to go and spend an evening at Breathe Bhutan's owner, Kinley, his house. And the staff who work at Breathe Bhutan, we had a nice dinner and drinks with the guides as well. So we're all getting to share stories, get to know each other, and I get to hear what Breathe Bhutan's all about, more about Bhutanese culture and what's to come. I will say, the Bhutanese do love a drink, I must admit. They love their beer, their wine, and any spirits they've got. So don't be shy getting stuck in to the alcohol, because they will definitely as well. So yeah, day two was hiking to Tiger's Nest. Amazing scenery. It's a moderate hike. You climb up to 3,100 meters, so it's no slouch in terms of altitude. The cafe halfway up is a fantastic coffee point. They do espresso coffee or Americanos, so you can sit and have a great coffee with the most unbelievable view. And in December, it's going to be clear skies, very mild, and not many tourists on the trail. And one of the best days I've had in travel. And Tiger's Nest for me was almost, I think, the number one thing to do for the last 5 years. Probably is number one thing, actually, thinking about it. So experiencing that sort of hike, culture, the temple, was pretty breathtaking, and it's pretty hard to follow, I must admit. But day three did produce something that was pretty special as well. So let's go to day three. A bit knackered from the hike on day two, but it was an early start because we're actually having breakfast at the Wang Ditsi Lakhang Temple. This temple sits on a hill overlooking Thimphu. and you park up to the start of the trail, and it's about a 45-minute walk. It's not a hike, it's a walk. And Bree 310, talking of authentic experiences, arranged for me to have breakfast with the llama there, and also got to interview him for 10 minutes. So that interview will come at the end of this episode. A fascinating chat. Had to translate through my guide because he doesn't speak great English, and that's fair enough. But honestly, the view of Thimphu was breathtaking. There was quite a low fog / cloud over the city, so that was majestic. And you hear all the sounds from the city, the traffic, the beeping, or even the calls, the prayer, all this sort of stuff. And as you walk on the trail, you get a view of Thimphu on your right, and you approach this temple, and the prayer flags are there, and I got welcomed into the temple by the monk. So the lama of this temple is quite well known, and he said, do you want breakfast inside or outside? And it was that mild, I thought, you know what, let's go outside. So the other monks alongside the lama brought the breakfast out on tables, and we sat there and we had the most amazing breakfast overlooking the most amazing scenery and getting to know each other. It was quite surreal, and I was absolutely loving it. And the lama was talking about the food and Bhutan, and through my guide who is translating life, really. And the breakfast, just to give you an idea, is the same sort of thing as lunch. It's red rice, the scrambled egg, there's chili cheese, of course, bread as well. They also like fried dried nuts, like a snack you have with your coffee. But actually, we didn't have coffee. We had milk tea, which I think everyone knows what that is. It's just tea with milk in it. We also had butter tea. Now, I'm not a fan of butter tea, but I felt it was too rude to say no, so I tried it. And honestly, it's such a savory taste. I mean, I have sugar in my tea, so it wasn't really the best thing for me, but I gave it a go and I enjoyed having the milk and butter tea with the llama. So the interview is to come, so we'll hear more about him and Bhutan. I ask him some interesting questions, and then we get to have a tour of the temple, and we walk around the grounds, get to go in the temple. No cameras allowed in temples in Bhutan. That's a rule. Make sure you cover up as well. That's another tip. Shoulders and knees. So always go in trousers, really, or at least carry something to get changed into if it's too hot. Just a quick pause in the episode there. If you're enjoying the podcast and getting value from these conversations, one of the biggest ways you can support Winging It is by leaving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. It generally helps the show reach new listeners and keeps the podcast growing. And it's free, and it only takes a few minutes. Alternatively, if you'd like to support the podcast in another way, you can also buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/winginit. It's a simple way to help cover hosting, gear, and the time that goes into creating these episodes. And I seriously appreciate every coffee that I receive. It's only $5. You can also head to winginittravelpodcast.com to book your travel through my affiliate links. That just means that if you book your flights, accommodation, or travel gear through those links, it helps support the podcast at no extra cost to you. And it allows me to keep sharing these stories from the road. And finally, if you know someone who loves travel, storytelling, or meaningful conversations, please share the podcast, whether that's by word of mouth, sending an episode to a friend, or posting it on social media. It really does make a huge difference. Right, let's get back into the episode. So we had a nice little chat, another cup of tea and a biscuit. And then it finally opened up to locals to come and visit. So it dawned on me that Bree 310 actually arranged this breakfast before locals can start coming up to see the temple. So I felt really honored that I got to have this breakfast. The llama is such a positive person. Like, he's so funny. He's making jokes. He wore my cricket sunglasses, posed for photos, videos, always laughing, always joking, wishing us luck, prosperity into the future. It's really a positive experience. And if you go with Bree 310 for your tour, honestly, try and ask for this if you can, or at least get to meet him, because you won't regret it. It felt like something super cool that you couldn't do really much elsewhere around the world. That's experience of morning breakfast on a hill at a temple with a llama overlooking Thimphu. Sensational. We walk back down to the car, and it's time for the next activity, and that is Chokki Traditional Art School. That's in Thimphu, a bit further on outside of town. And this has got a fantastic history of supporting the underprivileged in Bhutanese society. And the idea is to help people who can't afford to go to school or don't have access to school, to provide them with free education through learning a skill. It could be artwork, it could be being a carpenter. There's so many different types of things that they do there, male and female too. I had a female guide with me who showed me around the school, checking out all the different classes that they have. I got to meet the students, ask some questions. They received donations from people in the country and outside internationally. And that really keeps them going. And my guide was the most sweetest person ever. She spoke great English and she took me around explaining everything. I could ask her any questions. Then it comes around to trying some activities. So I got to try and cook that fried nuts that I mentioned for breakfast, which was quite interesting. They're laughing at me because they didn't expect me to get stuck in, but I was on the big wok and you have to be careful not to burn yourself. I was kind of shaking the pan. It's almost like roasting coffee almost, as that sort of technique. I created my nuts and they tried some and then they're great. And they're kind of laughing and appreciating that. Then I got to take part in some hieroglyphics, Bhutanese style. That was pretty cool. That requires patience. And the guy who's an expert there, he's also a student, but he's obviously very good at it, was very patient with me as I copied what he did. I have no idea what it really said. I've still got it, my piece of paper. They actually said I was quite good at it. That's quite interesting, right? Actually, my favorite thing was when I got to use, almost like, imagine the printing press back in the early days, how they printed the alphabet or story onto a piece of cloth. So I had a piece of cloth over the story and you wipe it down with a brush with ink and then you pull it back up and you have this whole story written on this cloth. It's incredible. Again, not really sure what it said, but the locals were happy with what I did there. Then they showed me how to make butter tea. That's actually quite difficult. That was the toughest of the demonstrations. It's a bit interesting how to make it in terms of making it strong. I couldn't really get a handle on the contraption that you use. I don't explain it very well here because it's hard to describe what I was doing or even what I was using. Again, that'll be on the YouTube channel in the coming weeks. And then finally, we walked around to do a bit of artwork and to finish the tour. And towards the end, they obviously want you to check out all of the things that the students create in their shop and you can buy anything you want. Now on my list for Bhutan before I went was the masks. They're very famous for their festivals and their masks in Bhutan. Very colourful, very detailed. I thought, you know what, I want some of them to take back. And this was the perfect opportunity. So I went into the shop and I just couldn't help myself. I was buying Bhutanese bowls, artwork, the little temples that go around, like the little souvenirs, magnets. And of course, I bought quite a few masks. I think I probably spent, I'd say, roughly $200 Canadian in there. And my guide, who showed me around the school, was crying. I was like, what's going on here? She goes, this is so needed. Like, we need donations and stuff like this to keep us going. And you don't understand how important this is. And I felt like really proud that I've made her happy and that it's contributed in some way. So if you want traditional arts from Bhutanese students, you can check out Choki Traditional Art School or Choki Traditional Art School, Choki. Put that in Google. And I think you can buy online potentially and hopefully they can send it to you wherever you are in the world. It was just a wholesome moment to say goodbye to her. I feel like she wanted to show me all the things and she did, but also part of that was to maybe try and convince me to buy something. And that's not meant in a negative way. It's just meant that they want people to visit, to buy stuff, to keep the school going. And the fact that I spent that much probably really made her happy. So I think combined with me getting stuck into the activities, I don't think many people get stuck in. They're a bit shy, but I wasn't shy in this and I was trying everything that was going. What a great time and what a great experience, I must admit. Next up was lunch. And this was a special lunch because we got to visit Dr. Keng Sonam Dorji. He's a famous traditional Bhutanese musician. Now, of course, I'm not an expert in that art form and I didn't know who this guy was, but I could tell by the reaction of my guides and my driver that he was well known in Bhutan and specifically Thimphu as well. And he has a house, hotel, recording studio all in one in Thimphu, and he provided us with some lunch. And I got to chat with him actually about music, life in Bhutan. And he's recorded with people like Imogen Heap, Josh Stone. So he's very well known in those circles. And it was an honor to spend lunch with him talking about music. I have a music degree, as you might know from this podcast, so I could contribute to the conversation somewhat. Then he collected one of his instruments. I think it's a dramyin, which is a traditional Chinese sort of like Himalayan folk guitar music lute type thing. And he sang a song for us live there in his restaurant. And it was filmed. And I think God, the driver, knew the song and said, yeah, that's a very famous song. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And what experience, just got to hear him perform live one song. Amazing. Totally unexpected. This was not on the itinerary. This was made up as we went. I think what's cool about this is the guides, Sonam, Aratu, and I guess Kinley would have been involved in this as well. They realized that I love music and I have a degree in it.
and this would be a cool thing to add in last minute, and he was available. So that was a great experience, great lunch, great to talk to him, great to hear him perform. And of course, just one of those whirlwind hours where you have like, what happened there? Amazing. I did record some conversation with him, but haven't reviewed how good that is in terms of the recording or what we talk about. There could be enough to release an episode. I'll see how much I've got. So that kind of was a late lunch. That was like mid-afternoon, 3, 4pm. Then we drive into Timpu to get coffee. And apparently, this is one of the best coffee places for coffee in Timpu. We went to Meraki by Yanchen. It's a cafe and patisserie. They do great coffee, support the crew, some Americanos and cappuccinos. That's right next to the Faculty of Traditional Medicine. And we went to their museum. Now, traditional medicine is not something that we obviously use in the Western world. This is very Chinese-based. And this museum was actually quite interesting to learn about their philosophy and what they believe in. I'm not going to do this justice, really, but the guy who showed me around is an expert. He's a doctor, obviously, and he's explaining different concepts and the foods that we should be eating. And he gave me a pulse reading, which he can determine from that what I need to work on. So he told me something health-wise that could be something to work on, which weirdly did seem true with what I've had in 2025. So I'm not sure what to make of that. I'm actively working on it because I know it's something I need to sort out. But anyway, so we did that. That's quite interesting to hear. To listen to him, you're kind of hoping it's nothing too serious, obviously. He said majority of stuff feels good in my pulse. It's about the hot and cold stuff and how they work together and what type of person you are and what body you have. A very interesting visit. And no one there, but it takes about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes to walk around, read all the stuff and learn about. To finish the day, we went to one of the wonders of the world, apparently. Well, it should be anyway. And that is a place called the Buddha Dordenma Statue. This is a humongous statue of Buddha overlooking Timpu and obviously the hills of Bhutan. You can see it as you drive into Timpu in the distance. It's so big. So we drove up there and this is towards the end of the day. So I didn't get the sunshine reflecting on the statue. I think the last knock-ins is about 4:30. We got there, got my photos. It's pretty cold and pretty windy at the top, but just breathtaking, the scale of it. And it's taken decades to build. I think it might even still be going to finish it off. Very popular in Timpu to go and see and do. And it was great to see Buddha on that scale. So that kind of wrapped up day three. And I finished day three at the hotel I was at for day two, which is the Access Suites in Timpu. This is a 4-star hotel. Very luxury. My room was huge. I had like a little living room, TV, everything. It was absolutely incredible. And also had an aircon unit, which can be used as a heater as well. So that's the level that we're at. And again, very comfortable and very good location in town. But end of day three, I was knackered. As soon as we arrived on day one, it's been nonstop, early starts, walking, hikes. So it's nice just to have dinner at the hotel early night and just reflect and chill out for a bit before we crack on with the rest of the tour. That's the end of this podcast episode. That's the end of day three. So what's to come, of course, is days 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The next immersive episode is going to be me visiting a festival. That's in my top 5 things of what to do. And luckily, I was there for one of the major festivals in December. So I'll leave you with that little teaser. And I'll leave this episode with the interview with the Lama at the temple for morning breakfast on day 3. I hope you find it interesting. I had about 10 to 12 minutes of content through my guide, Sonam, who's translating. So hopefully it translates well. I've got the microphones out. It should sound good. I hope you enjoy. Thanks for tuning in to the first 3 episodes of this Bhutan series. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your podcast app. Follow as well for more content coming your way for Bhutan. And if you listen on Spotify, leave a comment. I do check them and respond to them in good time. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Breathe Bhutan for the first 3 days. And let's go and hear from a Lama about what life is like in Bhutan and what it's like to be a Lama. I'll see you in the next episode. I'm sitting here with the most amazing view, having a cup of tea and breakfast with a priest here in Bhutan. So my first question is, can you introduce yourself, your name, and where we are in Bhutan?
The Lama, or the priest, is saying that his name is Dorje Tsering and he is the main Lama of the Duk Wangdetse Temple, Lakhang. Yeah.
Okay. And What's his most important part of the day?
The Azalam ye nim pebo je nim chinalo the ginku namsame kha che shudra ka chi yuse.
Da na yina ginku kha che chidre da nga jani shi kha pini di la. Ani dong kha che gi ne da chi ga ro de chu ba da ra. Ma cha ba shi kha pi go la. Te le chi ru ye chen dong. Ani ge kha gi kurum sim che tam je ga ro gi ten du la ni. Sa chi ra ma cha ba ngor me ti bi ru. Te cha ru le jim chi ri ja ba ni ta ba na gu kan tin gu du go la.
The very important task for the day for him is that waking up early morning and getting ready by 4 a.m. and then performing worshipping ritual ceremony, kind of the prayer to worship all the guardian deities, to bring peace and harmony in the country, to help liberating all the sentient beings who are suffering in the universe, and also to bring peace and harmony in the world. On top of that, sometimes he have to go out of the station, and during that he invites one of the good friend who is knowledgeable, who has a capacity, who is a high level like him, who got the post of Lama, and he invites him mainly to perform that prayer and the ritual to worship local guardian deities. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how would he describe the Bhutanese people?
The Ajalam ji ka thule bewa chin ache gi du ye khab gi mi se de kazum chilu cha jani se cha ja be long se mila
ta ge khab jan khad chip tong ache gi du ye khab di nam se mi gi te ga shu chin la ye chi ding ge khab be be ache na lo ni tam ma du nam se bom chi kan ye mi ka mi se kar ga to to be rang la be rang to sa tam ma du bom chi kan ye chi ni mi la
His general view on the people of the country is that as a happiness country, the people are satisfied and happy with what they do, what they are having, and what they are earning. And people, yeah, that's what he exactly mentioned.
Okay. And my last question is a religious question. What did he say to people who don't believe in a god or any religion? Like, is there any advice or something that he could share, like his wisdom, that would help someone?
Ani ta tu gi chwa di chwe de nyum jo bi chwa chme la. Ko gi ani summe wala wa de de wala ta nga chira mi di su la yu se den ji mare mi. Chwe lu nam sme te ba da mi gi ki ma ki mi di su lu ajlam gi khatule lab ja da ani di su lu ta kwa di su ka de be tu ni ni se
tang ji zon kha khe chin lu lam chup nam ni sme mo mi lab la te ka ti ku ti ma ba ni la ga di su na ba lam ri ge di sa ni ka ra ji mi di su am do lu te chi shi gi lerim te tub ma tub gi legend ta tam si ku lan su shi be te tar na ba gi ne tang su no ye halam ja sha le gup chi de ji ka ra chi lu te ba mi ka mi la ka ra chi lu te ba mi sa nga sa yin se ta ni bi ni nga cha lam chu su ka to le beru te ni gi ku di ti ma sha be te ra sam do to tu be la be ju do se ko ka ra mi ka ra te chulu jabo yimi sa so yis tar na ba kati kuti tar ru chim na chukum ma to mi chen ma to mi te nam kim chu sum zo ma te mi ka mi se ani be ni ngi ri gi gi kham na nam sum sam zo to do ga to do yis
te gi si ta ko gi chwa da ni mo la mi chi ni chi gi la si mi di yura mi se la bo mzum chi be wa chin a jila ma gi ti lo ta la yu se kon lo lob je zum be kon chu da la yu se din zri ni tin do ka zum chi
ta ne le
se me wa ma ma la
ja shel le te gu chu ku gu de jin ma pa le nga chi na gi chi lu te wa yu ta ne pi du chim nim chi ma pa le ten si la bla ta ne tim de nga chi gi kham na a tre ta ma du chung gu ri tim ga su lu ta ne su lu ko a de ti su le je me pe go le kho ya ra ji me bo re sim ju ni chi se te kho ro gi me do kho ro gi pu ji ga bla te tu ma tu ma ni mi si ka ra chi she la go le kho ya sim ju be te lok te ra te he ma ga im re chi na ji me se
His general view on the Buddhism or the people who don't believe in the God or exist of the exist of God and those who don't believe in Dharma, mm-hmm. is that he's saying that here in the country, almost all the 20 districts have like monks and lamas, the yep. priests around the country, and they will be all sitting in the temples, religious like monuments, mainly to encourage or advise and to educate the people about why to worship, why to believe in God, that how to bring peace and harmony. And on top of that, he said that out of 100 people, one person exists that who don't believe in the God and who is not really a religious person. Mm-hmm. But from his point of view, that when something goes wrong with him, that he advises, this is because of not like believing yourself in the God and these things. And he used to advise mm-hmm. the people. And from after like giving advice for a certain period of time, that obviously he changes his mind and believes in that.
Okay, one last question. Does he worry for people who don't believe in God or have no spirituality?
Ta koi tyo da ni mela ta ajalam gisem kalu saja da anzu mo mega asemela mi re ni ni chu da anilu teba la disu mi se ani teba ma kimi dilu ta na che chu lu par chi chu sin chu chunga sen no de saja o mega asemela
ani saja di bom me o mila bla ta chim sa jin ta kese ke ke wa shin mi chim nim chi gi te dam ning gi ga ji ge hab di kese ke ni ni ga yu se Tāne bēdōru tā tūngā chīgī khabdī tēt mīlō bēru tē bōm dīndē chīgī mīnō nyōsū chīgī mī. Tē kātī jiru chī chīgī tēt miwāngā dārī mō shīgī ngā wulu ngō mā shīb chī chī dōwa mē bē nāmi sē mī sī kārā. Tē dī kāchī bōgī nā, dī gī lā ngē mā kāchī bōgī nā. Hālam tē tāntā rā dāzum sē. Tāne lē chū khachā mī dē jam tō tū bē yu yu sā tū bē wā shīn sē.
Very big fear and the worry about those people who mm-hmm. don't believe in the Buddhism and who don't take the path of spirituality.
Yeah.
Because it is like that, like for example, a rotten apple in the basket can spoil whole apple
yeah.
in the basket. Mm-hmm. Same thing that if we don't like take him to the like through the right path, and if we don't educate them, then high chances that one person can like how to describe that one person can encourage other good peoples to turn in negative
yes,
side as well.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd just like to thank you for your hospitality, your warm welcome. The breakfast was incredible, the view is amazing, and you're so positive and so nice to me, so yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
The jura ko khatule ajlam lo kadiga su phomela ajlam ji namseme sim gi din le ra khona gembe thoba tomza te dile na tu atlen che be je go nam sme sim ji khona mi sme sem gai to chui te ajlam lo nam sme kadiga su bombe yu semela
ta di ko ni chi ge khabli chim dur nga chi chi ding ge kham na mi ne chi mi kap su lo ta kho chi na chim dur nga chi ge kham na lo nam sme pen to bombe chi ka kwaanyi nidarajintu ki chi je chukubwa dhamu taani ye nga chigi tazunapa gilo disu ki chim chamni satungi iskul tazunapa ki asimengka ki kaara turu disu tenka china men chi ani turizami ki turu nala chukubwa se tedele nga china lo hotor disu mi disu laatu mi de te kwaanyi kadiin ten kwa na chumi kapsulu nga chigi namsimi geshu ke bebe masuro do di chi te cha shukubwa bila namu biru
The priest is very happy to host you, because when some when foreigners come and visit our country,
yeah,
as I said that SDF, the tourist tax,
yeah,
which goes for the well-being of the country,
mm-hmm.
that's why he is very happy for your visit to Bhutan,
mm-hmm.
because your contribution helps for the development of the country, for free education, free healthcare, mm-hmm.
yeah,
for the well-being of the nation. That's why he is very happy to host you and also the future guests who turn up to visit Bhutan. Yeah.
So I'll finalize with, if people want to have this experience, they should visit Breathe Bhutan, who I'm working with today, and they can have this experience of the most amazing breakfast and amazing company. So, and honestly, the view, people should look at my Instagram for the view. It's incredible. So yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's it for this episode on Winging It. I hope you took something from this episode, whether it sparked a new idea, offered a different perspective, or simply let you feel part of the journey. If you enjoyed it, leaving a quick rating or review on your podcast app really helps the show reach new listeners. And if you know someone who might connect with this episode, share it by word of mouth or social media. It makes a huge difference. Head to voiceescape.com for more amazing travel podcasts as well. And thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, keep winging it.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voiceescape.com.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.